Christians and the Jews are always at each other's throats because the Christians claim that the Jews are the ones who killed their prophet. And you know what? That's not true, as us Muslims believe. But now you see them united, and you see the Pope now recanting and apologizing for statements he said in the past, or the church has made in the past, and he recants it now. And the reason is, let me give it to you an example, because when you see a fox in a fox, or a prey in a prey, those two preys always fight each other. They're at each other's throats. Let those two foxes see a little animal or a prey, one kills it. Those two join forces and go and kill that prey and eat it together and enjoy their meal together and then come back. When they're done, they start bickering at each other. That prey, the one they're united against, is Muslims. Now there's a war on Islam. And that's why those two are united. But let the, you know, the field, let the political scene be the Jews and Christians only. Now the Muslims are on a rise. And they know the Muslims are on a rise. So they're eliminated to suppress this rise. But let there be on the scene only the Christian and the Jews, and see what they do to each other. Because they hate each other, and the Christians, how could the Christians unite with the Jews if they love Isa? When they think and their belief is that the Jews are the ones who killed Isa. Boy, they're forgiven. If they love the Isa, the man who they believe supposedly took away their sins by what he went through, and now the people who they like him, they're aligned with them. This is only a unity against Islam, a show unity against Islam, but in reality, they hate each other. We got a narration of exactly what happened in Ibn Kathir and Al-Hakim, narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. When you hear of a story narrated by a Sahabi, you should know that it's one of two things. And this is the side issue of the knowledge of hadith. There's what we call a mawquf and a marfu'. If Ibn Abbas or a companion says something in any book you read of hadith, it's either mawquf, it's called mawquf in itself. Mawquf means the companion said it himself. If the companion says, and the Prophet ﷺ said, then that is marfu', meaning the companion narrates something that the Prophet ﷺ said. So we have a mawquf and a marfu'. So when a companion says something, again, it's called mawquf. However, when it's mawquf, we take it sometimes as though the Prophet ﷺ said it. In matters where there's no educated guess in it, matters of faith, fiqh, unforeseen, that have no educated opinion to it, it's only something Allah or the Messenger know. If a companion says it, we give it the authenticity as though the Prophet ﷺ said it. For example, if someone comes to Ibn Mas'ud and says, how did the Prophet ﷺ make wudu? And Ibn Mas'ud says, he made wudu like this. He took water and he did this and he washed this and he did it three times. That, even though a companion said it, it's as though the Prophet ﷺ said it, because a companion would not lie in something that has no educated guess to it. If it was a matter which is an opinion, a personal opinion, where it might include a personal opinion, then that is the opinion of the Sahaba himself. Here we have a matter where Ibn Abbas is saying a story where he didn't say the Prophet ﷺ said it. He himself could say the story. However, a story like this that concerns the unforeseen, something happening in the past, then Ibn Abbas doesn't just sit and make this up. He must have heard it from the Prophet ﷺ himself. So now you know a point about the knowledge of hadith. Ibn Abbas narrates the story. He says, Jibreel came down to Isa alayhi salam, and he informed him that the Jews, with the help of the Romans, are determined to kill him. Isa, not with his followers, his strongest of the followers, or his support back then, was the 12 disciples. He had 12 disciples. What we call al-hawariyin. Note the number. We believe there are 12, and with Isa, there are 13. Isa is bathed and leaves the shower, goes to a room where his followers are, his hair dripping wet, and he sits among the followers and asks them. He says, they have conspired and are determined to kill me. Would any of you agree that my image, my physical appearance and image be cast upon him and he will be my partner in heaven? A young boy stands up and says, I will, Isa, I will, O word of Allah. And Isa tells him, sit down. He gets back, Isa says again, will any one of you agree that my physical appearance and image be cast upon you and he'll be my partner in heaven? The kid gets up again and says, I will, O Prophet of Allah. And the third time, will any of you agree that my image, and Isa wants someone of the elders to take that spot and agree to that. And usually, as you see in the story, it's always the youth and the young people who lead the faith and religion to its victory. Just like us, in Islam, if you see the ones who gave victory to Islam, it was always the youth. If you look at who established Islam by da'wah in Yemen, is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, a man who lived his life in Islam was from 18 to 33. He lived from when he was 18 to 33 as a Muslim. Yet his name is always echoed on our tongues from the things he did. Imagine that. His life in Islam is 18 to 33. That name that is so popular and famous, he established, and one of his biggest things he did is he's the one who sent to teach the people of Yemen Islam. Ayush. The same in Africa. The one who established Islam in Africa and spread it over there was a young cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. The young man who established the first Islamic state in the history of the universe is another one in Medina, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So it's these youth who fight and struggle and always carry their heads on their hands and committed for the soul of their belief. Usually, elders back away or don't have the same courage, but it's always the youth who bring victory to their faith and their belief. That's why Islam pays so much attention to them. And that's why the only one out of Isa's disciples willing to agree that his image be cast upon him was the young kid. And the third time, Isa wiped on the young boy's head and gave him words of inspiration and made dua for him. And he told them that when they invade and come in here, they were in a room and they began to be surrounded by the Romans and the Jews. He said, when they come in here, my physical format will be cast upon you and they will take you and they will kill you. And I will escalate to the sky. And as Isa alayhi salam said, the Romans and Jews invaded to the hideout of Isa, and the way they knew where his hideout was because of one of his followers who they found, and they took him and beat him and tortured him and got it out of him. So they come in, and Isa, as his followers say, opening in the room, open, and he was escalated to the sky. You sit in there, and it's not a movie, it's exactly what happened, is that open and open in the corner of the room, and Isa moves up, and goes away. That young boy gets the physical form
of Isa alayhi salam, and they take him, they say, we got Isa alayhi salam. They take him and they torture him. It said in another narration of what happened to Isa that there was one who deceived them and told the Jews and the Romans where Isa was. One of his disciples deceived them and told them where Isa was, and that one who deceived them is the one that was transformed into Isa's image. So that man who deceived them, and his name is Yahudha al-Khabuti, they say that he is the one who deceived Isa, and in retaliation to what he did, Allah made his image, Isa's image, where they took him and tortured him and killed him. They took him and they said, you're Isa. He said, I'm not Isa, I'm the one who told you where Isa is. They said, no, you're Isa and you're a liar too. And they took him and killed him. This narration is weak. The stronger narration is the one I mentioned to you, where Isa alayhi salam asked who will take my image, and it was a young boy, and Allah escalated, as his followers say, Isa to the sky, and the young boy was transformed into his image, and they took the boy, they tortured him, and they killed him. Now we go to the movie, to the Passion of Isa. Who was that person that they tormented and oppressed and hit him with a chain and a ball that has a thorn coming out of it? That was the disciple of Isa. The one that was tortured, killed, and oppressed was not Isa. Isa was never apprehended by them. That's a misconception. Isa never was held as a captive under the Romans or Jewish control. He was escalated before that happened. The one who got tortured and oppressed, as you probably heard, is the one who Allah cast Isa's image upon, which was that young boy who said, I will take your image, O Messenger of Allah. Look what Allah says in the Quran.
وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْ.
They didn't kill us. They're liars. The Quran came to say, you're liars. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They didn't crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. But there was someone who resembled him. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. And those who disbelieved in him had doubt in him, in what happened. You know why what the doubt that Allah said? Those who disbelieved in him and took him and killed him had doubt in what they did. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. They don't have no knowledge. Why? Let me tell you why. Because when they entered, they knew Isa had 12 disciples. Isa plus his disciples equals 13. Okay. They take Isa, assuming they took Isa and killed him and tortured him. How many are left? 12. When they went in, there was 11. Because Isa had escalated. And they count and count and count, and it's 11. Where's number 12 and 13? They got 12. Where's 13? You understand what I'm trying to say? Is they knew Isa and his disciples were 13 altogether. They take Isa, assuming they took Isa according to what they say. How many is there supposed to be? 13 minus 1 is 12. They go inside, they have 11. Because in reality, what happened, they didn't take Isa. Isa escalated to the sky, and the one they took was the young boy, so they had 11 disciples left. That's why Allah says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْ. Those who disputed in him, in his belief, had doubt in what they did. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. They didn't kill him for sure. Believing that person crucified and that person tortured is against the principle of Islam, because you're rebelling and resisting a principle of Islam which is mentioned in the Quran many times. When you believe
and taint your belief and image that that person they tortured and crucified was the Isa and they killed him, you're resisting plenty of verses in the Quran where Allah says,
وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ
وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ They didn't kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ They didn't crucify him. That wasn't Isa عليه السلام. That was again the young boy who took Isa's image. I must confess, I watched this movie, and the only time my father and I have been to a movie ever was this time, because he gives da'wah a lot to non-Muslims, and a lot of them have been talking about this. And he thought he could see stuff in there that would help spark conversations with non-Muslims. The only time prior to that was when the messenger of Islam, the message, came out and it was released, and I remember I was 7 years old and we went to the theater. When I went to the theater, there was a woman next to me. She sobbed throughout the whole movie, crying. Then when the movie was done and we walked out, I looked at the audience and they were all crying. Tears. I think they should save them. Save tears for what their government does to Muslims throughout the world. That's what their government does to Muslims in Iraq. That's what their government does to Muslims in Guantanamo Bay. You know, the torture and persecution. They endure both physical and mental. So if you're going to cry and you really have emotions, cry over what your government does. Another lesson is, those Jews you align yourself with, Wallahi al-Azim, the Muslims in their prisons endure much more pain and torment than what you see in Isa alayhi salam. And our supposed Isa alayhi salam on the cross. So I tell him, save your tears for someone who was honored. You know, he doesn't need your tears. That guy that was honored, and possibly every one of us would wish he was in the position who took Isa's form, and he's going to be a companion to Isa in the life after. I say, save your tears and look and have tears over a reality that's occurring right now, not by one or ten, but rather by hundreds and thousands of people around the world. Allah says in the Quran about Isa alayhi salam, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ They conspired, Allah conspired, and Allah is the best of all conspirers. Meaning, they conspired to kill him, Allah conspired to save him, and Allah is the best of all conspirers. He saved Isa alayhi salam. What does Isa alayhi salam look like? His physical form, what does he look like? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam has seen him, and the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam has seen him was in the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, the journey from Mecca. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam had a journey from Mecca to Medina to the seven skies. And in that journey, he's seeing Isa alayhi salam in the skies, because he met all the messengers and prophets before him. So he met Isa alayhi salam, and he described him when he seen him. He also described him in other hadith, because Isa is going to come back down. Isa is going to come back down, so he describes him for us to know what he looks like. I collected the descriptions of Isa in all the hadith, and here they are. First of all, the Prophet ﷺ described his skin color just like Aisha's color. Rajulun Ahmar means his face is white, white with redness to it. You know, that very white, nice complexion that always has a beautiful red shine to it. That's how Isa alayhi salam. Rab'a means he's not tall or short, meaning he wouldn't stand out of the normal people's size, and he's not too short. If they're 5'9", he wouldn't be 6'2". He's around the average height of the people of his time. كَأَنَّمَا خَرَجَ مِنْ دِمَاجِ The third description of Isa alayhi salam is that as though he came out of a shower. Not clean, you know, of course he was clean. That's obvious. A messenger like Isa is of course clean. However, it means that his face is pure and clear and very white and shiny. You know how when you come out, you're better looking
when you come out of the shower, you're way better looking and your face shines, and you probably sit and stare in the mirror for some time looking at how nice your face is, because it's after the shower. And that's how Isa's face was always at. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, the fourth description, described him that his face is dripping water even though there was not any water on it. Again, that also goes back to describe how fresh and clear his skin was. His hair, the fifth description is his hair. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ جَعْدِ الشَّعْرِ, meaning his hair is not an afro. It's not curly to the point of an afro. It's between. Not 100% straight and not an afro. In between, curly a little bit. And in another hadith, the sixth description is that his hair is soft, meaning it's very soft skin. Soft skin, soft hair that he had. It's very soft hair that he had. Ja'ad, another description, which is the seventh one, is that his body, ja'ad, some people think it's about his hair. However, it's not about Isa alayhi salam's hair, but rather about his body, that its body is full figured, very toned and muscular. Eighth description is that he had broad shoulders and a broad chest. The ninth description is that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَهُ لَمَّا تَضْرِبُ مِنْ كَبَيْكِ. He had long hair to the point that it passed his neck all the way down to nearly just above the midpoint of his back. You know, between his shoulders, it used to hit between his shoulders. So we know that it's longer than his neck. Possibly around just short of the midway to his back. His hair is described in the 10th description that we have about Isa. His hair is described as though it has a shiny to the point that best described today, which you would understand it, that it has oil or gel on it. The Prophet ﷺ described it as though it has water on it, but it doesn't really have water. Meaning, it's very shiny hair. That happens usually when you have gel or oil on your hair, something like that. But of course, in Isa's case, it's natural. And about his weight, the Prophet ﷺ described him as though he's not fat or thin. Now, Isa's mother gets the news, and some say that she even watched the crucifixion. Some of the details that come about Isa, they come either from the Torah, from the Christian books, or they come from the what we call Israeliyat, the Israeli stories. And these stories, we as Muslims believe in them in three ways. First of all, if they're according to Islam, we believe in them because of course they're in Islam. You know, they have the Isa, the person who existed. We believe he existed. Some of those stories that coincide with Islam, we believe in it because it coincides with Islam. That's number one. Number two are some that go against Islam. So they have that Isa was the son of Allah. We say, no, that is against Islam. We disbelieve in it. Some stuff that's neutral is not positive, you know, it's not with Islam, and it's not against Islam. And that's like a detail that they may have where Maryam alayhi salam, his mother, was watching the crucifixion of that person. And she must have thought that was Isa. That is neutral. Whether she was there and seen it, or whether she got the news later on, it doesn't really matter. It's not really something against or with Islam. The scholars say about these stories, we don't disbelieve in them, and we don't believe in them. They're neutral. We're neutral. Because really it doesn't matter. She got the news. How she got it, whether she got it, for example, watching the crucifixion of that person who resembled Isa, or whether someone came and told her, it doesn't really matter. So we don't believe in them, and we don't disbelieve in them. Again, those stories of the Israeliyat
or the stories that come in the Injil, if they're against Islam, we disbelieve in them. If they're with Islam, we can coincide with them, we believe in them because they're part of Islam. If they're not against or with Islam, then we don't believe in them and we don't disbelieve in them. Among that is the details. For example, the details of how that person was crucified. However, we know most likely those details of the torture that went on, for example, taking the iron ball with thorns coming out of it, or the claws. We lean towards believing that in torture because those were methods used by the Romans back then. And also, believe it or not, the thorn that was placed on the head of the person who resembles Isa alayhi salam is mentioned in the hadith that I told you about Ibn Abbas. They crucified him, they killed him, and they put a thorn on his head while they were doing that, just like those of you who seen the movie. And this is not an encouragement to go see the movie. Actually, I do not encourage that or endorse that. I'm just saying that because of the masses who were affected by that and contacted me and asked about it. The question now is, where is Isa? Where is Isa now? We know Isa didn't die. You must believe in that. You must think in your heart that Isa didn't die. He was escalated to the sky. He now resides alive in the second sky. That's where the Prophet ﷺ met him, in the journey to the sky. He now resides in the second sky. Someone will say, how? I tell you, in a manner that only Allah knows. When you get escalated to the sky, of course it's not a life like the life we live today. It's a life that we say Allah knows best. We don't know how, exact details, how he was living, but Allah, the one who created him without a father, the one who created Adam without a father and a mother, the one who creates the universe, can give Isa alayhi salam a life to live in and in the second sky. When he was escalated, Allah cast upon him sleep for 3 nights. Within those nights, or after them, he was escalated to the sky. Allah says in the Quran, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. Allah says to Isa, and pay attention to this, مُتَوَفِّيكَ comes in Arabic to mean die, and it comes to mean sleep. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. O Isa, I'm gonna put and cast upon you sleep, وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيْهِ, and raising you to me, وَبُطَحِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and purify you from those disbelievers. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا قَتَلُوا, they didn't kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوا, they didn't crucify him, but rather there was someone who resembled him. In another verse, Allah says, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah escalated him to him, to Allah. Allah escalated Isa to Allah. In another verse, Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّكَ. O Isa, I'm gonna cast upon you sleep, or مُتَوَفِّكَ comes in Arabic, death. وَرَافِحُكَ إِلَيْهِ, and raising you to me. And another verse, Isa alayhi salam says, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ, and peace be upon me, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ, the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I will be resurrected. There's a word that Allah refers to Isa in some of the verses, not all of them, where he says mutawaffika. Really, some people come and say mutawaffika means death, and that means Isa died, and they use that as a contradiction in the Quran. It's really their ignorance that they're only showing. The Quran comes and uses terms that have different meanings. There's words in the Arabic language where it has maybe 6 or 7 meanings. The exact word itself would have 6 or 7 meanings. And among them is mutawaffiq. Mutawaffiq comes in the Quran as death, and it comes as sleep. So with all the proof we have, and the hadith that Ibn Abbas narrated when he said, Allah cast upon him sleep, and other verses where mutawaffiq means sleep, and other hadith where mutawaffiq means, or wafa means sleep, we take this to mean as though Allah cast upon him sleep. And it's not that. We take the accumulation of all the verses and the hadith together, and you can only come with one conclusion, that mutawaffiq over here means sleep and not death. Again, if you look up in any Arabic dictionary, you're gonna find wafa, mutawaffiq, the verse used, the word used in some of the verses to mean death and to mean sleep. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ used it the same way. And Allah clearly states in other verses where this term wasn't used that they never killed him and they never crucified him. So it's these people who want to place doubt upon us in their religion that use this to attempt to do so, and it's really as clear as can be that the word means two meanings, and we use it to the meaning that it's not death but rather a sleep. Look at Ummah. Ummah in the Quran comes to mean four or five different things. The word Ummah. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Ibrahim kana Ummah. وَالذَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ. In this verse it means time. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You're the best nation. وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ. In another story about Musa عليه السلام, he says, وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ. He found a group of people. This same word, أُمَّة, comes in the Quran so many different times. That's how Arabic is. Their ignorance in Arabic shouldn't be a reason for them to doubt our belief. Look at a verse in the Quran. It says, "Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha." Allah takes the souls when one's time has come, and the ones that He doesn't take their souls while they're sleeping. So Allah considers sleeping wafa. When the du'a, if you know the du'a that you say when you wake up in the morning, you say, الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. All praise to Allah, the one who gave us life after death. What life after death? Did you die and come back to life? No. That means sleep. Sleep is called by the Prophet ﷺ the small death. So that's what it really means. Another misconception about Isa عليه السلام is that Allah says in the Quran, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ, peace be upon me, the day I die, the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I will be resurrected. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّ, the day I die. So this death over here means the real death. So some people say, how can he die? The answer to that is he will die. He hasn't died, but he will die. And look what Allah says in the Quran. وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا. He speaks to people as an infant and as a kahl. Kahl is the age where you stop growing in. We always say, go to the store, buy me a shirt, and it's usually a size larger, half a size larger, because you're growing. And then you get to a point where the size is the size. Your shoes, you get the same size and that's it, they're permanent. And usually that becomes firm at the age of around mid-30s or so. So Allah says about Isa alayhi salam that he's going to speak as a miracle from Allah, as an infant and as a kahl in his 30s. What's the miracle about speaking in your 30s? I'm right now in that age and I'm speaking to you. What's the miracle? Everyone speaks at that age. A miracle is something that is beyond someone's comprehension. How does it happen? Like a baby speaking, that's a miracle. A baby in his crib speaking sentences, that's a miracle. How can someone in his 30s speak and it be a miracle? And the answer to that is that Isa is going to come back and speak. That's the miracle. Isa is going to come back and speak in his 30s. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a miracle. He was escalated at the age of 33 to the sky. After the escalation, the Hawariyin A lot of people rendered as non-believers, as always during the death of messengers, as Hawariyin, and the believers in Isa alayhi salam tried to spread his belief, but they were oppressed and persecuted and tortured, and their belief was suppressed to the point it was rare to find anyone on the true faith and belief of Isa alayhi salam. Allah in the Quran describes them, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Allah says, those who said Allah is three are disbelievers. And Allah called them disbelievers. And that's a reply to the modernists of today to say they're not kuffar. Allah says, كَفَرَ كَفَرَ لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ. Anyone who says Allah is three is a kafir. This is Allah says, not what I say or anyone else says. Allah says it in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ. In another verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Those who say that the Messiah, Isa, is Allah, are kafir. By word of Allah, this is in Surah Al-Ma'idah as well. Then Allah says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Allah says to the people of the book, oh you people of the book, la taghlu, don't transgress your boundaries and don't say except that which is true. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى. عِيسَى, the Messiah, is only a messenger of Allah. Now that Isa didn't die, and that's the established fact, and that he's in the sky, and we said he must die, then there has to be a point where he turns to this earth. And Isa will return to this earth. That is one of the signs of the judgment day. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. And it's knowledge of the judgment day. Meaning Isa is knowledge of the judgment day. In another qira'ah, it says, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ. Meaning Isa is a sign of the judgment day. We have a lot of minor signs of judgment day, which are probably over 70, if not more, authentic ones. However, the 10 major signs of the judgment day are only 10. And the unique thing about the 10 is that they come after each other. The minor signs, they come in long, they have long time between each other. For example, the Allah sending down Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a sign of the judgment day. Yet that happened 14 centuries ago. The major signs of the judgment, they happen right after each other. The Prophet ﷺ said they're just like, you know, if you have the beads, the masbaha, and you cut it, how they fall right after each other. That's exactly how they happen. That's one thing about them. The second thing about them is that when any one of the 10 signs of the judgment, they happen, and there's no authentic order to them, and any one of them happen, then you cannot repent anymore. Because everyone wants to repent then. Everyone wants to be a Muslim then. It's too late. That's the only time that you can repent is when you see any or you know of any other 10 signs of the judgment day. So, and of course, when you're at your last moments in this life, when you start seeing the angels and the life after moments before you die, that's the only other time you can't repent. Other than that, the doors and gates of repentance are always open. Isa was escalated when he was 33. And he's gonna come back because Allah said he's a sign of the judgment day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said exactly where he's gonna come down. He's gonna come in an area in Damascus, easterly area of Damascus, by a white minaret. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said that he seen and he knew an area in Damascus where there was only one white minaret over there. He comes down with each one of his hands on a wing of an angel. And his head is bowed down to Allah. And when he raises his head, it's as though it's dropping down precious pearls or diamonds that are falling from his head. Some sparkling pearls or diamonds that fall or are dropping from his head. He will come down during the time of a prayer in Palestine, and he will head towards Bayt al-Maqdis, towards the holy site of Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem there. And it's time for prayer, so he will go to the masjid, Bayt al-Maqdis, to pray. And the imam will notice when he opens the door of the mosque and walks in, he will notice this is Isa, because we got the description of Isa, I just gave it to you. So he will notice Isa walking in, and it's Iqama. You know how when we pray in Jama'ah, he says, قَدْ قَامَتَ الصَّلَاةَ قَدْ قَامَ الصَّلَاةَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرَ لَا إِلَهَ Isa walks in. So that Imam notices Isa, and he tells Isa, leave the prayer. And Isa will refuse. He will refuse, he will tell him, the Iqama of the prayer was made for you, and you Muslims, you followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are leaders of each other. This is a hint from Isa that I haven't come with the Sharia of mine, meaning with the legislation that I had of my time. I come as a follower of you guys, you Muslim followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Note, all messengers of Allah came with Islam. All messengers of Allah came with the oneness of Allah. All of them. Absolutely all of them. Musa, Isa, Hud, Saleh, Adam, Nuh, all of them came with Islam, and the Quran calls them Muslims, and they all came with the oneness of Allah, and that they are prophets or messengers of Allah. There were different details. For example, one of them we just took in our lecture today. One of them is that some they were permitted or ordered to fast from talking back then. We're not. They were fasting from food in a different way than we did. They prayed in a different way than we did. Minor details were different. So Isa comes to tell them, you are following the Sharia of the Prophet ﷺ. I am here at this time because it was the messengerhood. After the messages of the Prophet ﷺ, I'm merely a follower of that messengerhood. They pray, and Isa prays behind the Imam, the follower of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. After they pray, Isa opens the door of Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, to lead up to the prayer. And that's when they see the Dajjal, the evil liar, the one with one eye, and I don't want to get into details of him, but I've given a lecture about him, and the details about him and what he's going to do at the end of time. The evil man, the one that the Prophet ﷺ described him as the most cause of fitna for this ummah. The Dajjal comes with 70,000 Jewish soldiers behind him. And as soon as Isa opens the door to Bayt al-Maqdis, he sees the Dajjal, he knows him, because of course he has one eye, and on top of his eye, other eye, it says kafir, that he's a disbeliever. And then Isa, when he sees Isa, the hadith says he melts like salt melts in water. You know how you put salt in water and it melts? That is describing the fear of Isa, of the Dajjal from Isa. The Dajjal tries to run away, and Isa, that's describing how tormented the Dajjal is. So he runs away, and Isa runs after him, and the Muslims run behind Isa to help him. Isa catches the Dajjal at Bab al-Lid. Bab al-Lid is an area in Palestine known today, and he eliminates and kills and puts an end to this evil creation, the Dajjal, who causes a lot of mischief on this planet for some time before Isa. Then, that's one of the things that Isa's job to do. Another thing that Isa comes to do is that the Prophet ﷺ says he comes to break the cross, لِيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبِ وَيَقْتُلِ الْخَنْزِيرِ, and to kill the pig. And that's to show that belief in that cross is absurd and unjustified and wrong. That's the meaning of breaking the cross. And also that everyone after that, is only religion going to be accepted from people after that on this planet is Islam, the oneness of Allah, and that Isa and Prophet Muhammad ﷺ are mere messengers of Allah. The next thing he does is that he kills the pig. He kills the pig is to show that the details that the Christians have in their belief is not right. Because among the things they have is, of course, that they can eat, of course. So he comes to kill the pig, meaning to show that their belief in the details of their religion has been tampered and played around with. The next thing he does is he calls people to Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. How long will he stay? He will stay in this planet 7 years when he comes back. There's a hadith that says he will live for 7 years, and there's another hadith that says he will be living for 40 years. And a lot of people have a misconception on this. How do we have two hadith? One that says 40 and another that says 7. It's really easy when you figure it out and you read the scholarly interpretation of it. One hadith that says 7, he's not going to live for 7 and 7 years old only. It means that he's going to finish 7 years after he comes back. The 40 years means he's going to complete a total 40 years of life on this planet. He lived 33 years before he was escalated. Then another hadith is going to live 7 years. That means after he comes back, 33 plus 7, that means he's going to live a total of 40 years. You got the answer right there. After 40, he will die and the Muslims pray upon him. In addition to Isa alayhi salam killing the Dajjal, and by the way, the killing of the Dajjal is when the hadith, the authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, you will fight the Jews and you will kill them and you will annihilate them to the point that a stone in a tree will say, oh you Muslim, oh you Abdullah, come behind me, there's a Jew, come and kill him. A Jew in a tree can stand the Jew hiding behind them. And they will say, oh you Muslim, come behind me, is a Jew, come and kill him. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us will happen. A lot of people try to hide this hadith. This is going to happen at the end of time. When Isa is here, he is the one who's going to lead that battle. Because after he kills the Dajjal, those 70,000 want to fight the Muslims. And that's where they're going to fight them. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, only tree that will not tell you the Jews behind them is a tree called Al-Gharqad. And that's a tree a lot of the Jews are growing over there right now. Because this is a reality that will happen. No reason to hide it. No reason to come and give it meanings that it can't accept or absorb. It's a clear hadith that when Isa comes, you will fight the Jews and you will kill them to the point a tree and a stone will say, Ya Muslim, Ya Abdullah, come behind me. If a Jew, come and kill him. In addition to that, fighting the Dajjal, fighting the Jews who are with him, and in addition to that, is calling people to Tawheed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَهْلِكُ فِي زَمَنِ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ الْمِلَلْ كُلُّهَا إِلَّا الْإِسْلَامِ. All ideologies, all beliefs will vanish and go away and disperse except Islam. Meaning, the supreme leadership of this entire globe will be to Islam. The hadith is in Musnad Ahmad. In the time when Isa comes back, يَعُمْ الْأَمَانِ فِي الْأَرْضِ, peace will be all around this earth. That's one of his duties. Provide peace and prosperity throughout this earth. يَنْشُرُ الْإِيمَانِ, he will spread faith. Not only oneness of Allah, but also faith and iman will be instilled in the hearts of the people. There's people called Ya'juj and Ma'juj who are also another sign of the Judgment Day, and I also gave a lecture about them previously. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are Gog and Magog, and these are descendants of Adam alayhi salam. They're not creatures who people give them some attributes that have no proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. These are descendants of Adam alayhi salam. These are people who exist today. These are people who cause mischief on this planet. These are people who are mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, in where Allah mentions about messenger of his who was on a journey, and the people on a journey, when they see him, they said, help us get rid of these evil people, which are Gog and Magog. So he seen two mountains between them and Gog and Magog. In the middle, in between the two mountains, put metal, and on the metal he made it melt and shielded it to the point where in between those two mountains is a barrier that he said in the Quran, and the details of it are in the Quran. He said that that barrier will not vanish until the judgment day is about to come. We now believe they exist somewhere on this planet. Some people say it's Chinese by China, some say other places. We cannot predict, Allahu A'lam, because we can't say something today and it can be and assume 100%, and then it turns out to be wrong, and then they say the Quran is wrong. But we believe certain group of people, human beings, exist in this planet today, where between us and them is a huge barrier that will not be destroyed until the judgment day. These are very evil people. They will not be able to break that barrier between us and them until it's just about judgment day, and that is when Isa is around. So they come out and they oppress and they do mischief and they do evil things, and they control the earth so bad that they say, we rule the people of the earth. Now we gotta take down the people of the sky, the ones of the sky. They feel so powerful, so pride, that they control this universe, that they say, let us take down the people in the sky. That is when Isa is told of these people. So he takes his followers and believers, and they go and they hide in At-Tur. At-Tur is a mountain. So he takes his people, he's not ordered to fight Ya'juj and Ma'juj. He's ordered to take them and hide, take his followers and seek refuge and hide in the mountain of At-Tur. When they do their mischief and Isa and his followers are away, then they sit and make dua that Allah takes away these people off the face of this earth. Allah accepts their dua and these people all die. Gog and Magog all die, to the last one of them. A hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, يُرْسِلِ اللَّهُ الشَّغَفَ فِي رِقَابِهِمْ. And that's little worms in their neck. Little tiny worms that go in their neck, and it's like a plague that goes in each one of them and kills each one of them. A little worm in their neck that kills them. Now they're dead. There's so many of them. They go, there's so many of them, just so you know how many of them. They go and they pass an ocean, and they pass through the ocean. By the time the middle portion of them passes, or the last, they think there was water here. They drink it all. They don't leave a drop of it. Farm, in their entirety, they leave no food out of it. They eat it all. They eat, they destroy, they corrupt their people of evil. So there's so many of them to that point. Imagine how many they are they going to be when they die. Their smell. The Prophet ﷺ says, زَهَمُهُمْ وَنَتَنُهُمْ. Zaham is the drool that comes out of their mouth when they die. When they die, the drool comes out of their mouth. And natan is the smell of dead, skunky bodies that have been there for some time. So there's zaham and natan. Natan. Zaham and natan is the smell, and the natan is the drool that comes out of their mouth. And that is, you go to an area where two people died. You can't bear the smell. Imagine these many people that are dead all over. So they make dua with Isa alayhi salam that this goes away. So Allah sends the bird, كأعناق البخ. Allah sends birds in response to Isa and his followers' dua, كأعناق البخ, meaning birds with long necks like camel's necks. فتأخذوا جثثهم. It takes their bodies, فَتُلْقِي بِهَا حَيْثُ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ, and takes their bodies. These birds with long necks, like camel necks, are taken, take the bodies, and throw them somewhere where Allah tells them to. Now, you still got the after effect of it. The smell is still there. So you need to refreshen the world up. So Allah tells, يُرْسِلِ اللَّهُ رِيحًا. Wind comes. فتنزل سيلا يظل بالأرض يتركها سلقا. So it sends, the wind comes, and then rain comes, and then it leaves the earth سلقا, meaning pure, clean, سلقا. And this is when Allah tells the earth to take out your barakah. This is when the blessing of Isa comes that I just mentioned, that he will eliminate all evil. All the barakah of the earth will come out to the point that humans make peace with animals. فَيَتَصَالَحَ الْإِنسَانُ وَالْحَيَوَانِ. What do we mean peace with animals? The prey of the animals and the human beings have no more problems. You know, you can't go in a cage with a wild lion and sit with him these days, can you? It's impossible. Or with any, you know, with a huge bear. You can't go near a huge bear. Why? Because he's gonna attack you. It's normal. Some dogs even, German shepherds come and attack you. Rottweilers come and attack you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at the end of time, زَيَتَصَالَحَ الْإِنسَانِ مَعَ الْحَيْوَانِ. With the blessings of Isa and the elimination of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog, the earth brings about its barakah to the point that the human being has peace with the animals. فَتَرْعَى الْإِبِلْ مَعَ الْأُسُودِ. Meaning, a lion and a camel eat together. تَرْعَى الْإِبِلْ مَعَ الْأُسُودِ. They eat together. A lion and a camel eat together, next to each other. Now they can't do that, because the lion will attack the camel. But then they will eat next to each other. فَتَرْعَى الْإِبِلْ مَعَ الْأُسُودِ. وَالْبَقَرْ and the cow مَعَ النُّمُورِ. With a tiger. Cow and a tiger eat next to each other. Share the same meal. No one harming the other. وَالْغَنَمْ مَعَ الذِّئِبِ. And the sheep with a wolf. Imagine that. The same animals that prey on each other and harm each other will have peace with each other, just as human beings will have peace with the animals. They graze with each other. The ibil, the camel, will graze with a lion. The cow will graze with a tiger. The sheep will graze with a wolf. وَيَلْعَبُ الْأَطْفَالِ بِالْحَيْوَنَةِ. And the kids play with the animals. Kids will play with the snake, and the snake not harming it. Abu Umama said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a ذئب, which is a wolf, will be with sheep. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a wolf will be with a sheep like it's his servant. Like كأنه كلبها. As though it's his servant. A wolf will serve and help a sheep. Can you imagine that? Right now, put a wolf next to a sheep and it won't remain seconds before attacking it. وَيَمُرُّ الْوَلِيدُ عَلَى الْأَسَدِ فَلَا يَضُرُّهُ. And a young boy passes an asad, which is a lion, and he won't even harm him. Let a boy go next to a lion today and see what happens. وَتَمُرُّ الْوَلِيدَ. And a young little girl will pass near a snake, عَلَى الْحَيَّ فَلَا تَضُرُّهُ. It won't harm her. رُفِعَ الظُّلْمُ. There's no oppression. اِسْتَقَرَّ الْأَمْنُ وَالْأَمَانِ. Peace and prosperity will overwhelm with the universe. And that's because of the barakah of Isa alayhi salam. He even said it, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. And he made me a blessing wherever I am. فَتَخْرُجُ, of course, by the will of Allah, through the arrival of Isa alayhi salam in his dua and his spread of the message of the oneness of Allah. فَتَخْرُجُ الْبَرَكَةُ. We're not done. Imagine this. فَتَخْرُجُ الْأَرْضُ بَرَكَتَهَا. The earth will take out its blessings. حَتَّى أَنَّ الْعِصَابَةُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Isaba is a large group. Large group is called Isaba. حَتَّى أَنَّ الْعِصَابَةُ مِنَ النَّاسِ يَأْكُلُونَ الرُّمَّانَ. A large group eat and feed a whole dinner off of a rumana. You know what a rumana is? It's a pomegranate. A pomegranate is a rumana. A rumana right now is a the biggest one you probably find is a handful. That is going to be so blessed that it's going to be huge enough to fully feed a whole group of people. One. You know, when my mom does it for me, she peels out maybe four for me, five, just for me. One of those, at the time of Isa, is going to be enough, one of those, enough to feed an entire group. Isaba min al-nas, just one, meaning it's going to be so huge. You want to know how huge it is? The hadith goes on to say, ثُمَّ يَسْتَضِلُّونَ بِقَحْتِهَا. They will take it, the peel, the outer part of it, the skin of it, that you take out from within it, the fruit that you eat, you take that, and they take it, and flip it upside down, and put a stick on it, and that's like a tent for them. That's how huge it is. ثُمَّ يَسْتَضِلُّونَ بِقَحْتِهَا. They take the peel of the pomegranate, and they put a stick, and they sit under it as though it's their tent. وَيُبَارِكِ اللَّهُ فِي الرِّزْقِ وَاللَّبَنِ. Allah will put blessing and risk in your income, in your wealth, and in Lebanon. And so, pay attention to this. حَتَّى أَنَّ اللَّقْحَ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ تَكْفِي الْفِئَامِ مِنَ النَّاسِ. If a camel just gave birth to a baby camel, that's called a laqha in Arabic. Fi'am is a group of people, large groups of people. That baby cow will be enough to feed large groups of people. وَاللَّقْحَ مِنَ الْبَقَرِ تَكْفِي الْقَرْيَةِ. اللَّقْحَ مِنَ الْقَرْيَةِ, the baby. لَقْحَ is baby. This time is of the cow. A baby cow is enough to feed an entire town. وَاللَّقْحَ مِنَ الْغَنَمْ تَكْفِي الْفَحْرِ. A small baby sheep is enough to feed a fakhir, which means an entire tribe. In a hadith narrated by Ad-Daylami and authenticated by Al-Albani rahmatullah alayh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it was narrated by Abu Huraira, glory to a life after Isa. The sky continues to pour rain and the earth continues to grow to the point that if you place a seed on a Safa, it would grow. You know, if you go to a Safa in Hajj, it's the mountain that you go on top when you start your sa'i in Safa and Marwa. It's that mountain, the first mountain you go on. It's a mountain. Wallah, if you put any seed on it today, this mountain is going to grow. The Prophet ﷺ said, at the end of time, if you place a seed on that dry mountain, there's so much blessing that it will grow off that mountain itself. There's no animosity. There's not going to be any animosity. No jealousy, no envy, no hatred. To the point that man passes by a lion and it doesn't perform him. Isa alayhi salam, after all these blessings, goes to Hajj and then goes to Medina and dies in Medina soon after. The Muslims pray upon Isa. They do salat al-janaza on him. And it's a selected opinion by scholars that Isa will be buried next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr, near or next to Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallam. And soon after that, all the pious people, good people, are taken off the face of this earth by a breeze that comes to them. Only people moments before the judgment day that will remain on this planet are the evil people, who are the ones who will hear the trumpet blow. The Prophet sallam said, يَبْقَى شِرَارَ الْخَلْقِ يَتَهَارَجُونَ تَهَارَجُ الْحُمُرْ عَلَيْهِمْ تَقُومُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, after Isa alayhi salam, he's dead, and they bury him. And soon after that, Allah sends a breeze that takes away the souls of all the good people. And just moments after that, not too long, very short after that, the judgment day will come up with only evil, the leftovers of the evil people on this planet. And that's when the judgment day comes. And the Prophet ﷺ describes them as so evil that they perform sex in public places. تهارج الحمر means they perform sex in public places. يبقى شرار الخلق يتهارجون تهارج الحمر عليهم تقوم القيامة. ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون. This is, you know, the Isa ibn Maryam, the one who a lot of people deceive and talk about and went astray in him. Then Isa alayhi salam, his next appearance is in the judgment day. He gets to stand up as Allah gathers the people before they're questioned on the judgment day. He gathers everyone and calls Isa up. Come here, Isa. Isa gets up. Ya Isa.
وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ
فقلت للناس اتخذوني وأمي إلهين من دون الله، قال سبحانك ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق، إن كنت قلته فقد علمته، تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك، إنك أنت علام الغيوب. يا عيسى come here, come on up. Did you say, Isa, take me and my mother as lords instead of Allah? Isa's response, glory to you, Allah. Subhanak, no way. Ma yakunu li. There's no way I can tell them that which I have no right to. How can I tell them something I don't have a right to? In kuntu qultuhu, if I said it, oh Allah, you know it. You know what's in me, and I don't know what's in you. إنك أنت علام الغيوب. You know that which is unforeseen and hidden. ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به يعبد الله ربي وربكم وكنت عليه شهيدا ما دمت فيهم فلم أكيم. ما قلت لهم. I didn't tell them, يا الله. Except that which you told me to tell him. A'bud Allah, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. You were my witness as when I was amongst them. And when you took me away, escalated me, and you were the one watchful over them, and you are the one who witnesses over all me. In tu'adhibuhum, if you torment them and put them in hell, they're your slaves and servants. إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. ما قلت لهم. I didn't tell them, يا الله. Except that which you told me to tell them. أعبد الله. Worship Allah. My Lord and your Lord. You were my witness as when I was amongst them. And when you took me away, escalated me, and you were the one watchful over them, and you are the one who witnesses over all things. إن تعذبهم. If you torment them and put them in hell, they're your slaves and servants. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And if you forgive them, then you're the exalted in power and the all-wise. قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ. This is a day that those who were truthful and on the guided path, their truthfulness is going to help them to gain entrance into a garden of heaven bigger than the sky and the earth. This is Isa alayhi salam. And this is a story from the day prior to when he was born, his grandparents, to his mother, to his life, to his escalation, and all the way on to his re-coming to this earth, and then his death on this earth again. This is not a time to reply to the misconceptions that Christians bring about, possibly dedicate an entire different talk for that. However, a unique story that I was reading as I was preparing for this was someone was on a, he was on a train, and he had in his cabin a Christians and Jews. And he told them, what do you think, you Christians, what do you think is going to be your entrance to heaven? The Christian people said, our love for Isa and our respect for him. He said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, wallahi, if that's going to gain you entry to heaven, then I'm going to be there before you. Because wallahi, we love Isa more than they do. Then he looked to the Jew and he said, well, what is going to get you to enter heaven? He said, Musa, and I love Musa, and our worship to his, what he brought, and respect to him. And he said, yes? They said, yes. He said, wallahi, if that's what's going to get you entry to heaven, I'm going to be in heaven before you. Because we love Musa more than you. But you don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you got no way, no chance. But we, wallahi, we believe in both of them, and we love them, and we respect them, and we give them the rights and the honors that Allah gave them in the Quran and in the Sunnah. With this, I will conclude this talk, and inshallah, it benefited and cleared some of the misconceptions that went on, and that it will be a reference for the future for both Muslims and non-Muslims, so they see exactly how we believe in Isa alayhi salam, peace be upon him, the day he was born, and peace be upon him the day he will die, and peace upon him the day that he will be resurrected. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيَّ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ.
ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
This has been a production from Maktaba Sound Studio. You may wish to visit our bookshop at Maktaba Booksellers and Publishers, 384 Stratford Road, Rock Hill, Birmingham, B114AB, or phone us on 0121-773-1661. Alternatively, visit our website, maktaba.net. That's www.maktabah.net, where you will find the very best of Islamic literature and nasheeds. All rights reserved for this publication. Please adhere to this, as all unlawful reproductions may harm us from further producing quality Islamic media. Jazakallah khair. Maktaba, your online Islamic bookstore.